Thanks, Aisha. Hello, everyone. Good morning and welcome to Unity Organics conference call. Hope all of you are safe and well. So in today's call, we are joined by Ms. Vinati Saraf, Managing Director and CEO, and Mr. Kaviraj Devraj, General Manager, Corporate Finance and AR. We'll start with management community to understand business outlook and updates on existing and new products, followed by short Q&A. I invite now Ms. Saraf for her opening remarks. Over to you, ma'am.
Yeah, hello everyone. I'm Vinati Mutreja, CEO of Vinati Organics. I'll just give you a brief overview. Now, as you can see, the total income in FY21 was flattish compared to FY20. Now, the main reason for that was because of the pandemic, due to the global slowdown, ATBS sales were impacted. However, that was set off by increased sales in IBD and other products. As far as ATBS is concerned, right now we are seeing a very, very strong uptake due to the global economy, as we are seeing recovery in USA and in North America and Europe, and ATBS is 95% exported. So in FY22, we expect ATBS to grow by 80 to 85% of what we did in FY21. Now, coming to IBD, IBD recorded its highest sales ever in FY21. FY20 was a low year for IBD as one of our largest customer was shut down. However, they are up and running fully right now, and IBD continues to grow in double digit in FY22 and 23 also, mainly attributed to the good demand, the strong demand in ibuprofen. New players for ibuprofen have also come in the market, and existing manufacturers have expanded their capacity. We continue to maintain a market share of 70% in both ATBS and IBD. Now, coming to butyl phenols, we finished, we started that plant about a year back, and currently we are running at 50 to 60% total capacity, and we expect to clock in about 250 crores of revenue from these four butyl phenols in FY22. All four of these butyl phenols have been well received in both the domestic and the export market. Our integrated operations, since they are backward integrated into IB, has allowed us to gain market share in a short period of time in spite of the ongoing pandemic. Now, coming to the other products, which include isobutylene, MTBE, PTBDA, ester, and a few other customized products, contributed about 25% to the overall sales in FY21, and we continue to see about double-digit growth in these products as well. Now, given all of these factors, we expect a sales increase of 40 to 50% in FY22. Now, that's all regarding the updates from my side. I'm open to Q&A.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Sanket Gaur from Systematics. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi Vinati. Vinati, I'm just trying to get a sense on how big the domestic market with respect to ATBS, and at what time we will start focusing on domestic market as well, since now we have a sufficient capacity. That's my first question.
See, ATBS actually has very little domestic demand. It's used domestically mostly by acrylic fiber manufacturers. But that demand is growing, but it's almost stable. The major of its users are companies like BASF, Dow Chemicals, SNS Roger in France, and they are all based outside India. It used to make polymers, now water soluble polymers, and this technology of polymers is not well established in India. I don't see personally much growth coming from the domestic market for ATBS, but globally, yes, the market's growing at 20-25%. It's looking very positive. There is no other new player coming. All the growth in market is being captured by us.
Okay. And secondly, with regards to your guidance, ATBS guidance, you said about 80-85% growth over S21. Have we factored in any risk because of crude oil prices going down, or will it impact this guidance as of now, or it will remain, or we have factored in that while guiding?
See, these are first of all volume guidance. If the crude oil price comes down, our raw material price will come down, and similarly we'll be able to pass it on to the ATBS price. Now also remember that last year ATBS sales were low. So this is 85% on a low sales base. Yeah. In FY20, ATBS sales were higher. So on FY20, this number is not 80-85%. On FY20, this number is more like 35% or so, you know, which is in line with annual growth of 20-25%.
Sure. Would you mind sharing ATBS volume for FY21 so we can have a better
idea? You see, in FY20, our capacity for ATBS was about 24-25,000 tons, and we were running at full capacity. Today, right, our capacity is 40,000. In FY21, because of the global slowdown, this volumes came down to almost 16,000. We did 16,000 for ATBS in FY21, and in FY, just given the uptake in demand that we are seeing from January and the projections which our customers have given for the next 6 to 9 months, we expect to do about 30-31,000 tons of ATBS in FY22.
Sure. And last one from my side would be on a pricing scenario for butylated phenol products. If you can give us some glimpse over there, thank you very much.
See, the pricing is different for the different, the four phenols, but they are priced somewhere in the range of $1.8 per kg. Again, depending on the import price, which is mostly phenol and isobutylene.
Right. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nitin Gosar from Invesco. Please go ahead.
Hi, ma'am. Thanks for the opportunity. Two questions pertaining to the balance sheet. One is the debtors and the inventories have gone up. Could you help understand that part? And second is, again, on the asset side, loans and advances plus the investment have gone up. This was almost like nil last year, and this year it's almost like 240 crore. What could be the reason there, ma'am?
The first one was the debtors.
Yeah. So, Nitin, Kaviraj this side.
Hello. Hi, Kavi. Hi.
So, the debtors and the working capital, see, typically whenever a new product gets launched and we are in the initial first year phase, we always see the data and the working capital, figures going high.
No, see, also, see, in this year, the IBB and the butyl phenols have a higher percentage than ATBS. And in this case, we do give credit to our domestic customers. And that is one reason why the debtors have gone up, and inventories, frankly, has gone up because in March end, because of the global logistics freeze, we had about 15-20 crores worth of product just lying as inventory, which was actually sold, which would have translated into sales otherwise. Now, coming to your question on loans and advances, loans have gone up. Because the board has approved to give VO, Vinati Organics has given 133 crores of loan to Viral Alkalis, because to Viral Additives Private Limited, sorry. Now, Viral Additives owed 133 crores to HDFC and other banks. To pay off that loan, VOL has loaned money to VAPL, which once the merger gets approved, that loan gets nullified.
Okay, got it.
Regarding the investment part, which is there in the non-current assets, that's essentially because that's a longer term investment, like InvITs and ETFs which are we are holding. That's why it is in the non-current assets.
Okay, okay. And one last bit, any update on PAP project?
PAP is not in our projections for the next 3 years. We have a pilot plant, but honestly our technology is still not established. So I would prefer if you don't ask me about PAP because I'm not taking it in my bag.
No, no, fair point, ma'am. Got it. At least for next 2 to 3 years. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question from the line of Rohit Nagarajan from Easy Security. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity and congrats that most of the projects are currently in line and good guidance. The first question, ma'am, is on the products in pipeline. So what are the newer areas in terms of chemistries or diversification that we are working on? Because I think most of the earlier projects are now come up and they are in different phases of commercialization. And probably over the next 2 years, we'll have those newer capacities being filled up. So what's the view on this? Thank you.
See, most of our new products will have some synergy with our existing products. One big chunk of growth will come from antioxidants, which again subject to the merger with VAPL, because that will also be a direct forward integration of butyl phenols. Similarly, we are working on other butyl phenols also, which we have announced, OSBP for 6-PBOC. Again, that's more like a horizontal integration, similar processes, but different applications. Our existing products, PTBBA, PTBB ester, which one application is in avobenzone, even that is growing. Then we will be making further downstream products, which I have not named and I cannot name, but from butyl phenols itself. So given all of this will also entail another capex of about 200 odd crores to be implemented over the next 1 year.
Sure, understood. That helps. The second question is in terms of our capacity for incremental brownfield expansion. So we have done acquisition of Viral. Probably it may have some capacity in terms of expansion and for our existing plant as well. So how are we placed from a maybe medium to long-term perspective of 3 to 5 years in terms of incremental expansion and the project that we are envisaging? Thank you.
See, the existing capacities of all, you know, ATBS, butyl phenols, as well as viral additives will take care of the demand for the next 2 to 3 years. Post that, we will see how the market pans out, how the demand comes out, and then we will see what incremental capacity needs to be done. And same is the case for IBB.
My question, probably I did not ask it correctly. In terms of the land available for expansion for our new project, so you mentioned that this year we are expecting another 200 crore capex for further downstream products. Similarly, we'll have probably a similar kind of plan over the next 3 to 5 years. So how much?
Yeah, so a big chunk of that new the new products will be in the subsidiary Viral Organics, which is a 100% owned subsidiary of VOL. And since we formed that subsidiary simply to avail the tax benefit that a new company gets, where the reduced tax rate of 15%. And that company has its own piece of land, about 20-25 acres in Mahar itself.
Land
is not an issue. We have
Sustainable Finance Disclosure Regulations or SFDR, and it's coming into effect on the 10th of March. I have sent a mail separately on this regard, and I would request the company to consider disclosing the requirements, the data that is required for these are mandatory disclosure requirements for all our investing companies. I would request the company to please consider disclosing them.
Yes, to answer your CSR question, we have recently uploaded our CSR reports on the company website. So I suggest you please go through that, as that will give you a good overview of what kind of community service projects our company is taking up. It's mostly in rural India, rural Maharashtra, in and around our factory areas. A lot of effort, especially towards education. We've built science and technology labs for colleges. We've built a primary school close to our factory, and various other initiatives for wildlife conservation, for water availability, COVID-related expenses, etc., that whatever as and when the area is required. Now, as far as ESG goes, see, please understand our customers are all global MNCs, just to name a few, Dow Chemical, BASF, etc. So they conduct thorough, rigorous audits on our plants and on our company regarding EHS. And I'm proud to say that our company always ranks in the top 5 to 10 percentile of their suppliers globally. We've received various awards regarding our environment practices. And again, you can find a list of those on our website.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nilesh K from HDFC Securities. Please go ahead.
Good morning, ma'am. So my first question is, ma'am, can you tell me how much is the ID install capacity we have?
ID install capacity right now is 40,000 tons.
Okay. And with the increasing demand for ATBS, also butyl phenol,
yeah.
Is it sufficient to cater all the demand?
See, as of now, it is sufficient. We can increase it to 50,000 if needed. So I'm not worried about, I don't see the ID capacity as the bottleneck for us.
Okay, thanks. That's all from my end. Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ayaz Motiwala from Nivalis Partners. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi. Good morning. This is Ayaz. Thank you for taking my question. Ma'am, I just want to get a slightly longer term past perspective on ATBS pricing on an index basis, if you can explain that. You've had multiple interactions right now also you mentioned that you sort of make a dollar spread over the raw materials, and if they move up and down, you pass them back to the client, so you get a compensation if the crude prices have changed quite dramatically. So if you were to get some flavor of this on an index basis, and if you could give us, let's say, a picture on, say, 2010 to 15, and then after that, the reason to ask is that crude prices have been very volatile, man. One is that, as a way to appreciate and understand where you're coming from. And the second aspect of that would be, that your capacity has been sort of going up a bit. Whereas you talked about a certain dollar spread which is fixed. So I just wanted to get a slightly better understanding on how does this work.
See, ATBS price is not as volatile as crude price. It is just, the reason I say it's based on that is you understand what is the main raw materials for ATBS are acrylonitrile as well as ID, which we make from MTBE. Now, both these products, ACN and MTBE, come from refineries. So as crude price, say for example, crude price moves by 10%, I'm just giving you a very rough number, maybe this price of ACN or MTBE would move by 2-3%, and relatively our ACN price, our ATBS price would move by 1-2%. So it's not as volatile as I think you are fearing. Maybe in the last 10 years, I would say ATBS price has more or less been in the range of $2.5 to $3.5 per kg. And what was your second question about CapEx?
I didn't hear. I'm sorry, I didn't hear that. You said the prices in the last decade has been $2.5 to $3.5.
Yes, correct. That's correct.
Right. Yeah, I was trying to link it to an earlier fact in the last few interactions where you mentioned that because ATDS has been a little sort of weak demand, particularly 21 when you quoted that where the, actually the supply was lower than the previous year, FY20, you have not raised prices and have gone in line with the older prices. So that's where I wanted to get some sort of sense on.
ATBS price, we don't raise or reduce ad hoc, you know. It is mostly in line with our raw material price. Last year, generally, the raw material prices were low, so ATBS prices were low somewhere in the range of $3. This year, raw material prices, especially ACN, has gone up, and ATBS prices have also consequently increased to about $3.5. Margins remain more or less the same, I would say, in the last 3 to 4 years.
Right. And one other question, ma'am, quickly, is on the large opportunity on retail phenols and retailated phenols, as you talked about. In this case, could you give us a sense of your backward integration a bit and the plans that you have for downstream products? Would that be competing with your raw material suppliers, or would that be competing with your existing customers? How would that both look like as you open out your strategy in terms of antioxidants through your acquisition now of Viral Additives?
See, butyl phenol, the main raw material is phenol and isobutylene. When I say we are backward integrated, means we make isobutylene ourselves. So there is no competition there. And phenols, we buy domestically as well as we can import phenols if needed domestically. Deepak is the largest manufacturer, and we have no plans of to make phenol since that's easily available. Now, the forward integration, just two types of the 4 butyl phenols will be used in the antioxidants. Presently, yes, we do supply those two types, 2,4 and 2,6 butyl phenols, to our customers, who then would become competitors for us once we start making the AOs full scale. But the other types of butyl phenols, the OTBP, PTBP, those are used in fragrance industry. Plus, we will be getting into others, a few others also, OSBP, where we will not be competing with our customers.
Okay. And as you said, there is some other projects which you have not announced officially, which are for the downstream derivatives of butyl phenol, which will also be under the butyl phenol umbrella. Is that correct?
Yeah, they are also horizontal integration, like OSBP, 6-TBOC. Those are also types of butyl phenol only.
Okay. That's very helpful. Thank you for that. And I'll come back for another question. Thank you.
This will be the last question.
Sure. We'll take the last question from the line of Naresh Vaswani from Samiksha Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, ma'am. Thanks for the opportunity. My question, you mentioned in the opening remark that because you have backward integrated, you are seeing a good market share gain in butyl phenol. And you have mentioned during the call about the large opportunity size in butyl phenol as well as antioxidants. So can we... do you expect, because of this backward integration edge which you have, over a period of time you will be able to garner, let's say, 40-50% of the global market share in these two products?
See, 40-50% market share in antioxidants is very, very ambitious. There we are competing with companies like BASF, SI, Songwon in Korea, who have been making these products for the last 20 years. I'm not sure if it's prudent of me to be so optimistic, but India, definitely we will get a good market share, 80% in the coming years, and maybe we will become top. We will be in the top 5 players globally, hopefully in the next 3 to 4 years.
Okay, and in butyl phenols?
I answered for both butyl phenols and antioxidants.
Okay, sure. Thanks.